Heard you were busy yesterday morning, Buzz. How are you?
Yeah, sitting in Laurie's seat. Yeah, I can do without the 5 a.m. Sunday alarm clock. I can give you the tip.
How did you go, Buzz, driving all the way from the Carring Bar studio to French's Forest here?
Yeah, mate, it was a long day. By the time I got home, wrote a column for the Telegraph and then went out to the cricket ground after that, mate. I'm getting a bit too old for this was, to be honest.
How did you find it, though, mate?
No, well, yeah. You know, sitting alongside Ray Thomas, he's a pro, isn't he? You know, and so, it was good. It was fascinating talking to people like Chris Waller and, you know, interviewing him and, you know, asking him. I asked him a question, actually, about his blood pressure when he watches races. Like, the person in rugby league I compare him to for his success is Craig Bellamy. And I said, Chris, you've seen Craig Bellamy carry on in a coaching box.
Yeah.
How are you so calm watching, you know, all the races and stuff? But he's a remarkable trainer, isn't he? And, you know, set to break another Group 1 record this year.
Mm. Yeah, certainly is. Now, the West Tigers, though, certainly the big story to come out of yesterday. Why are they in such a mess, Buzz?
Oh, look, this is a long story. We could have 3 hours and you know, to do a deep dive into what's going on there. Look, as you said, Michael Chamis put a story on the Sydney Morning Herald website last night that there was to be a crisis meeting and that Mads was under enormous pressure and could have his new 2-year contract terminated. Look, I rang their chairman, I rang another influential board member there, Simon Cook, and they both denied there was a crisis meeting. But at the same time, they didn't give an ironclad guarantee that Mads was safe, you know, would survive the entire season. Look, and I guess if you have another few 40-6 score lines like they lost to Manly yesterday, the pressure is going to build on the club to, you know, take drastic action. And there are a couple of handy coaches around like John Morris, Cameron Serraldo, there's Shane Flanagan, you know, who are waiting there for an opportunity. However, I've written a column today in the paper talking about the successful clubs in the competition now and how the days of trying to buy your way out of trouble and just go into the open market and, you know, pay $800,000, $900,000. The West Tigers have tried this. They tried it with Moses Embiid, Russell Packer, Josh Reynolds. What they actually need this club is a strategic plan, a junior development plan, like Manly have got right now, like Melbourne Storm have had. That Penrith side, Phil Gould started a plan there almost 10 years ago. And his plan was to spend their money on junior development. And that team that played last Thursday night, there was 18 players selected for that game, and 16 of them came through their local production line. Not just in Penrith, but around Bathurst and Forbes, where they invest money in junior football. Only Kurt Capel and Matt Eisen, who weren't from that area. So I think the West Tigers have got to have patience. They're not going to fix them next week, the week after, with a new coach. You're not going to fix them with 2 quick signings. It's been proven it doesn't work. And, look, I'm not convinced that Matt should go. But it's, you know, I can understand their fans are in uproar and are getting impatient.
Yeah, I think everyone understands the frustration of the supporters because when you go to a footy game and you support your colours, you want to make sure that your team's being competitive and fighting for every inch in a game. But the last 2 of the last 3 weeks have been poor displays by the Tigers, and they're both days where you would think that that team would be up for it. You know, that game against the Cowboys at Leichhardt Oval, it was the remembering Tommy Raudonikis and everything that Tommy's done from the great game of for the game of rugby league and celebrating the wonderful career. And you wanted to see some passion and you wanted to see some fire and brimstone, everything that Tommy was about. We saw none of that. Then against South last weekend, they actually turned up and gave a real spirited display. And you thought, wow, this is the turnaround of the joint. This is the Tigers that we think and believe in now going forward. Then they give another limp performance the way they did on the weekend where they just opened up so easily. I can understand the frustration, but I'm with you, Buzz. I don't think change of coach is going to help, and it's not the right time to do that. They've got to be supportive. They've got to work hard, and the players need to be more accountable. The players need to be more accountable for their own performances because what they're dishing up at the moment is not working, and they're just not fully committed. They're not fully buying in to what Michael Maguire wants. And I think if they don't do that, I think the patience for team selections is over. And I think he needs to make some serious changes to that, yes, to that team.
I'll tell you what I think, Laurie, without going overboard. You know Ricky Stewart, when he went to Canberra, had issues.
Yeah.
But and he couldn't, you know, he couldn't buy them out of trouble on the open market. So he came up with a plan to gradually bring the English players in.
Yep.
And he developed Whiten, yeah. And he brought the local boys on. And look, Michael Maguire is the New Zealand coach, should have connections where he can build around Kiwis like Ricky did with Poms.
Poms, yeah. No, I think we don't see it enough here in the NRL where we don't give our coaches time. And I could give you classic examples. There are a number of examples in the AFL where coaches have been under the pump, on their last legs, and the boards have stuck solid with them to give them more year. And then, you know what happens? They turn it around. And a classic example is Melbourne. The Melbourne Football Club at the moment, last year, they wanted the coach gone. They wanted him out. They wanted him gone. He couldn't coach. He was terrible. All of a sudden, they're undefeated and a chance of winning the competition. Nearly happened to Alex de Clarkson, and he went on to become the most successful.
Mark Thompson at Geelong.
Damien Hardwick at Richmond.
Have a look at the Richmond coach, Warren.
That's exactly right.
You know, he was gone.
Yep.
That's what I wrote that column about this morning. You've got to be patient. But the problem is rugby league fans aren't. And, you know, there's pressure on boards to get results and get them quickly, you know. Mm. So,
What about the Sharks, mate? And I'm also reading in your column today that Matt Moylan looks to be the odd man out when it comes to Craig Fitzgibbon coming in and settling on his halves. You believe they want to keep Sean Johnson. And is Adam Reynolds the number seven that they're going to chase?
Yeah, look, if Adam Reynolds decides to leave South Sydney, I am very, very confident that he'll be playing for the Cronulla Sharks. He doesn't want to take his young family out of Sydney. It's not a long way to Cronulla. He spends a lot of his summer in the Shire on his jet ski on Port Hacking and around Kurnell. And I just think it's a really, really good fit for the remainder of his career. And he will get a three-year contract. Look, I'm told that Craig Fitzgibbon, although he's not publicly commenting on recruitment at the moment, his dream halves combination is Reynolds at half and Sean Johnson at 5'8". That leaves Matt Moylan on the outer. Matty has had hamstring injuries issues for a long time. And, Matty can only play 5'8" these days because of his hamstrings. He can't play fullback. Plus, they got Will Kennedy there. So I think he'll be struggling to get a contract at Cronulla if Reynolds does sign in the next week or two.
Buzz, does that mean for the Broncos, Mitchell Moses is a big chance of going there?
Yeah, that's the really, really interesting story out of the weekend, Clarkey, and the news last night that Tom Dearden had quit the Broncos and will be playing with the Cowboys from next year. This club, I think, curated the club on their management and recruitment in the last few years. They'd be 16th out of 16. And to let a kid of... And, you know, it's just so disappointing to see Tom Dearden leave the club. And like the young fella who played for the Warriors yesterday, they just can't be paying their players. But if Anthony Milford goes as well, which is going to happen, it just leaves them, with no halves. And they must have some plan. Are they going to play for Tony Staggs at 5'8"? Well, I think that's a really, really brave move from a young fella, you know, who hasn't played there before. Is Brodie Croft going to play halfback? Brodie Croft hasn't played good football since he was in Melbourne. So they've got some really, really big issues. Look, Mitchell Moses might be the answer. I don't know. But is he going to want to leave Parramatta? If Parramatta come up with the right money, where would you want to play, Parramatta or the Broncos?
Parramatta. Simple as that.
Well, yeah. So, again, I have no idea what's going on at the Broncos, why they can't keep their young players, why they still haven't done a deal with Staggs. And I guess Staggs is a risk too with his off-field misdemeanors, you know. So they are in all sorts, the Broncos.
They are at
and
the moment.
They're like the West Tigers. They put in a magnificent performance against Penrith 2 games back. And then they come out with that rubbish against the Eels, 46-6. And, you know, I love Kevin Walters, the character in the game, but, you know, we were questioning Anthony Seibold this time last year. Kevin has not been able to improve this football side. And they're actually going worse than last year.
Yeah, well, he was upset on the weekend. I saw him address that team after the game, and he did it before the game the previous week, got a result, and then after the game on the weekend against Parramatta, you could see the frustration on his face, and I'm sure that he'd be disappointed with the efforts of some of his players. What did you make of this tackle on James Tedesco yesterday? And now that, you know, Tedesco has had 3 concussions within the space of a year, do we start to worry about his long-term future in the game?
Look, the mail I got out of the Roosters camp last night, Laurie, with James Tedesco, they are the most ultra-conservative club with concussions. And this is where the concussion issue is wrong, in that some clubs will, you know, I don't want to point the finger at Melbourne Storm, but Harry Grant stayed on the field there. You know, the other day when it was obvious he was on the ground for more than 2 seconds, which the rule is. But with the Roosters, I'm told they took an ultra-conservative approach yesterday and just decided not to send him back out there.
Right.
And I think that's really smart. I think Tedesco will continue playing. He might miss next week, but he'll be back, you know, the following week. And mind you, if he does have another bad concussion, I can understand what people are talking about 3 in 1 year. But, look, that rule is a worry. I thought it was a send-off offence. And the problem is, Laurie, if they're only going to send in these players, it'll happen in the grand final. You'll play the Roosters in the grand final, you'll get someone to whack Tedesco high, like they did yesterday. Mm. They'll put him out of the game. And they'll only be with 12 players for 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, that was the biggest...
It'll become a tactic.
Yeah, and the biggest talking point out of last week's games were the fact that we thought that the referees weren't consistent enough in their decision-making when it came to foul play, because we saw incidents where one person got 10 minutes in the bin, one person was just put on a report, and another one was sent off. So there was inconsistencies around what constitutes a send-off. And I think after the weekend, again, we're getting ourselves into that territory where we get a little bit confused about what's a send-off and what's not. I want to ask you about this, Buzz, because I heard this on the weekend, and I heard it from a pretty good source that Sam Burgess is thinking about making a comeback, not for this year, but for next year. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't, Laurie. I must admit, I haven't. But, you know, we were told when he did medically retire and his money then came out of the South Sydney salary cap and they were able to move on, that he had a shoulder injury that could not be repaired with any type of surgery. But, look, I know he's been on the Gold Coast. I know he's been training really, really hard. He's got a start on that television show, SAS, and... he's been preparing very hard for that. Nothing would surprise me in rugby league, though. The problem with Sam Burgess playing again is the South Sydney salary cap and the fact that, you know, they're losing Adam Reynolds for the fact they've got no money. And But, Laurie, it's one I'll chase up today, and I'll let you know what happens with it.
Thanks.
Buzz, now, also, Tom Trbojevic, we had a caller before asking where would he be in your top 50 now. I think you had him at number 8. They've got Penrith this week, and Turbo just adds that completely different dimension to Manly when he's playing.
Yeah,
could they challenge the Panthers this week, gee?
Look, I think they will with the way Turbo's playing. And they've had such... What have they run up, 70-odd points in the last 2 weeks? And what, they conceded one try in 2 weeks since he's been back? You know, that top 50 list, you could move it every week. And what we've seen the last fortnight, Tom Turbo is the number one player in rugby league. But I've looked back at his record this morning because I heard that call. In 7 years, he's played 100 games. He hasn't played 100 games. In the last 3 years, he's played 21 games, which, you know, when you're picking a top 50 list, you weigh up all these things and his, you know, injury record and his durability. And look, while he's at his best, Laurie, I've got Cleary 1, Tedesco 2, Munster 3. That's what I had this year.
Mm.
But there's no question, if he has another 6 straight weeks and playing like he has and as consistently, I'd nearly be whacking him on top. And I can understand Michael Ennis' comments on the weekend that should he be the New South Wales fullback? On form, but again, the last 2 weeks, he's playing better than James Tedesco. But Tedesco has, you know, the record.
Mm.
You know, he's got runs on the board. So it's going to be a really difficult choice. If Tedesco's fit, I'd play Tom Turbo on the wing or in centres.
It's going to be...
He played centres in Perth, remember, two years ago?
Mm. It's going to be fascinating, Buzz, because I think, again, I think there'll be 4 fullbacks that New South Wales will just have to pick. And I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but I can't see how you leave out Tedesco. I can't see how you leave out Tommy Turbo. If Latrell comes back and plays the way he did before he's been suspended, I think you find a position for him. And then you've got a guy like Pappenhausen who could quite easily play that 14 role for New South Wales off the bench. Would you agree with that?
Well, Pappenhausen would be the first player I'd pick. I'd have a sheep 1-17. I'd just put him in at 14.
Mm.
He'd be the first player I'd pick. And look, as I said, I think last week, in the first 6 rounds of the competition, there were 18 Dally M points available each player. Now, Latrell got 13 points out of a possible 18. His form was just unbelievable. I think he's such a professional these days. In the old days, I would have been worried about the condition he presents himself in after a break from football. But I know he's going to train hard. I spoke to him on the weekend from a Sunday Telegraph column. He showed great leadership by jumping on a plane with the South players and going to that game against the Titans. Normally, he'd be back on his farm in Taree. And I think he will come back in round 11 or 12, whenever it is, round 8. And he'll be ready for New South Wales.
Buzz, have a great week.
Yeah, you too, guys. Enjoy your week.